Jason Rea of Milwaukee is one of five Democratic candidates for Democratic state chair. All five candidates are being interviewed by Wisconsin Eye. Jason, thanks for talking to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You know what intrigues me about your bio? You have been active in party of, you're only 28.
Mm-hmm.
You might be the youngest state party chair in the National Democratic Party.
I think one of the youngest.
One of the youngest. So did you, were you like born waving a Clinton or sign or something?
You know, interestingly, my parents were much more concerned about the Green Bay Packers than they were about politics. They voted in every election, at least in most of the major ones. But, you know, for me, there was just always something about politics that intrigued me, you know, from a very early age. I remember being in, middle school reading about John F. Kennedy and some of the work that he did in the New Frontier and Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. And just something always inspired me. And I ended up actually riding my bike to county party meetings up in Barron County before I could ever even vote and very quickly got involved in the party and in party leadership and really started a lifelong passion of serving and volunteering for not only the party but for progressive causes.
Well, I've been to a whole bunch of Democratic conventions, and you're the ones that up there making sure the trains leave on time, and if there's a parliamentary question, you answer it. You do have a long history of party leadership here. I'm also intrigued. You've been on the Democratic National Committee since you were 17?
I have been. I was very fortunate. Back in 2004, I ran a long shot campaign to get elected to the Democratic National Committee. I was 17. I had just finished my junior year in high school.
Couldn't vote.
Couldn't vote yet. Wasn't even going to be old enough to vote in the 2004 presidential election for John Kerry that year. But I really wanted to make sure that more young people were included in the party. At the time that I got elected to the DNC, of 447 members from across the country, there were five under the age of 36. And to me, I thought that was just wrong. And I wanted to make sure that we as a party were consistently providing opportunities to make sure that more young people were heard, that we're growing our party and reaching new groups and really growing together. So I took a long shot run and ended up coming in first in that race. And it's been my true honor to serve the party, not only on the DNC, but in a number of capacities for more than a decade now.
Well, and what are the circumstances or what are the issues or what are the reasons that you're seeking the Dem state chair?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we look at our state, you know, I love the Democratic Party and I want to see us be successful. But I really care about our state and I want to make sure that we are moving Wisconsin forward and that we're not letting these progressive politics that we saw our party's founders fight for die away. You know, frankly, Republicans and Scott Walker are destroying the very progressive foundations of our state. So for me, it's about making sure that we're building an organization that will really fight to defend those values that we hold dear, to really make sure that we are electing candidates up and down the ballot, that we're building our bench, that we're regaining our digital advantage, and that we're working to put forward that positive, progressive vision for Wisconsin's future.
With the exception of the reelection of President Obama and the election of Senator Tammy Baldwin, what went wrong for your party in the 2010, 2012, 2014 elections, Jason?
You know, I think a lot of what we did wrong was I don't know that we necessarily got our message down on a local level as well as we should have. When you look at 2012, for example, Assembly Democratic candidates got 200,000 more votes in statewide and ended up with only 39 seats. They had 200,000 more votes than Republicans did, and we still ended up only with 39. And I think it showed that, one, we weren't reaching down to the local level far enough. I think, you know, we as a party really need to make sure that we are investing in that local level and really building our bench of candidates. And I think that's something the Republicans have actually done fairly well. You know, I look at my hometown of Rice Lake. They got a young guy elected to on the city council, mayor of Rice Lake, and then he ended up taking out a member of the state assembly, and Stephen Smith this last time around. And Republicans around the state have done a great job of making sure that they elect people to those school board seats and those county board seats and village board seats and building their bench. And we as a party need to step up and do something there. And that, I think, will help us win elections again.
Well, you answered the blogging blue question. This is a follow-up question to say that county board members, city council members, school board members, mayors and village and township officials make decisions every day. They are our future candidates. Here's my question. How do you know that they are Democrats at these local government levels?
I think there are a lot who are party members who share progressive values and are out there fighting. You know, some of them may not be a party member yet, but when it's actually looking at the things that they're advancing, when it looks at the values that they place in their school board's budget, or when you look at the values they're placing in a county budget and what they're fighting for clean water and air and for other issues that are going on that local level, we can see the progressive values represented in people, and some of them may not be a party member right away, but I think that we as a party have a responsibility to reach out and engage them. But as I said in that Blogging Blue interview, those are our future candidates. I look at, I was in La Crosse last night at the La Crosse County Democratic Party meeting. I've been out traveling the state, averaging at least 1,000 miles a week, talking to party members, to grassroots groups. But, you know, I look at La Crosse as one example. You know, they had Steve Doyle, who was a member of the county board for a number of years, who ended up being elected to the state assembly.
Right.
And I know that those local elected officials that we're investing in today are going to be our next candidate for state assembly, for state senate, potentially even for governor.
If you're elected, say, chair, you're going to be called to focus on and divide your time between organization, messaging, and fundraising. Which of those would be your greatest priority, Jason?
Well, I don't know that I can say any would be the greatest priority, because I think all three need to get done. I think if you don't do the fundraising component of it, you're not going to have the resources available to make sure that you have the organization in the way that you want. And if you don't have the organization strong, you can't get a message out and reach people. So I think all three are really need to be done collaboratively together. So I'm going to focus on all three and make sure that we are building as strong a state party, both financially, organization-wise, and message-wise as we can.
Well, if you're on the phone to a potential big giver and she or he says, why should I give to a party that has only 36 seats in the assembly and is potentially dropping in the Senate, what's your answer?
You know, for me, it's really about laying out a vision for the organization and where we want to go. It's why I've actually released, you know, three plans in this campaign around specific things I want to do to see the party grow. It's something that I've had professional experience in. Right now, I founded and serve as the executive director for the Wisconsin LGBT Chamber of Commerce, the state's largest progressive business organization. And I'm out there every day working with our businesses and selling a vision for an organization. I'm talking to business owners, I'm talking to grassroots activists, to community leaders, all around, here's what we're trying to do. It's not about investing in a specific candidate or campaign, it's about investing in an organization and sharing a vision. And I really think that's what the role of state party is going to do. And when I'm state party chair and on the phone with a donor, it will really be about selling a vision for an organization. Candidates are going to come and go, but we need a solid, strong party that will be there to support those candidates when they're there.
So you think your role as a leader in the LGBT movement in Wisconsin is one more asset, one more reason why you should be
Absolutely.
State Democratic chair?
Absolutely. I think I bring a great background as a member of the LGBT community to this, and a real perspective to how do we organize constituency groups in this state. One of the plans I actually released last week was all around looking at how do we as a party continue to expand the electorate. And I think it really involves making sure that we're engaging the LGBT community, the Latino community, the African American community, the veteran community, the women's community, the rural community, all across this state. And I think I bring a great asset in that.
In your Blogging Blue answers, you seem to be indicating, you and I probably both read the book, What's Wrong with Kansas, that some rural voters, some people perhaps in your native Barron County, have been voting for Republicans. Why? More specifically, why can't your party beat Scott Walker in 2010, 2012, 2014?
Well, you know, I look at the map and I look at Barron County. I still hold Barron County dear to my heart and consider it my home. And for me, it's disappointing to see that the people that I grew up with are now voting for the GOP. You know, we were represented by, for 26 years in the state assembly, by Mary Hubler.
Mary Hubler.
A Democrat.
And Bob Jauch.
And Bob Jauch.
Right.
And if we can't win in places like Rice Lake, I know that we can't win in this state. And I think a part of it is messaging. I think we have become the anti-Scott Walker party, that we are out there saying, well, here's what Scott Walker and Republicans are doing, and here's, you know, we don't agree with it. But we as a party haven't really put forward that real positive, progressive agenda for what we're going to do for working families. And I think in particular, we have to do that in rural communities across the state. We need to be out there talking about how Democrats are going to fight for middle-class families, for raising the minimum wage, how Democrats are going to make sure that there's quality, affordable public schools all across Wisconsin, how Democrats are going to make sure that when students graduate from college, they can find a good job that will help them repay their student loan. You know, I was doing phone calls and in the last few elections, and I talked to voters in rural Wisconsin. That was one of the complaints I heard. They said, well, we know what Scott Walker stands for. What does your candidate stand for? And I think that we as a party need to be making sure that we are getting that message out there and that we're reaching people and telling them exactly who we are as Democrats and what we're going to fight for.
Has the Republican Party been able to use rural-urban as a wedge issue that has helped their party elect more of their lawmakers, Jason?
I think so. I mean, you look at Scott Walker. You know, he's from the Milwaukee area and runs against Milwaukee and complains about Milwaukee and vilifies Milwaukee when he's in a campaign. I know that people in Wisconsin want a unified state. They don't want to be divided. And I think that Scott Walker has really put forward an effort to really divide the state. And it's my hope as state chair to really make sure that we are building a community together. And it's something that I've done for more than a decade as a member of the DNC. And I've traveled the state, and I go to county party meetings and dinners and congressional district conventions in every corner of Wisconsin. There isn't a spot that I haven't been. And for me, it's all about, as state chair then, making sure that everybody knows that they're valued, that they're included, and that we're engaging. The techniques that we use to organize in Milwaukee aren't going to be the same that we use in Barron County. But we need a chair who understands both and can effectively, on day one, realize the difference between the two and hit the ground running.
Some of your opponents say it's been 17 or 18 years of the party chair coming from either Dane or Milwaukee counties. They're kind of using that as a reason that maybe it's time to elect not you. Do you want to respond to that, that coming from the city, coming from the state's largest city, you would have the city interests first at the expense of outstate Wisconsin?
You know, well, I live in Milwaukee now with my partner. We're actually planning our wedding for the weekend before state convention right now.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, I live in Milwaukee now, but I still consider Rice Lake and Barron County home and make it up there as often as I can. And I really think that we need a state chair who does understand both. I have experience both rural organizing and urban organizing. And there's a difference between the two. I've helped run campaigns up in northwestern Wisconsin and been involved there. But I've also run campaigns in Milwaukee. I've actually helped elect 7 judges to the bench in Milwaukee County over the last few years and have elected candidates.
Have you done fundraising for those candidates?
I have.
Okay, excuse me for interrupting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And city council candidates in Milwaukee, and I've seen both. And as I mentioned earlier, there are different tactics in each community. There's different ways to message and engage. And we need a chair who understands the difference between those two. And I think that's what I bring to the table really uniquely.
And quoting your Blogging Blue answers for the last time, you say we need new tools and technologies. Can you be more specific, please?
Sure, absolutely. So I actually released a whole 5-page plan here about a month ago.
Is that on your website?
It's on my website.
Plug your website for viewers.
JasonRae, RAE.com.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah, no. And it's all about, there are a lot of free tools out there that we're not using. One, I'm going to start at one simple example. County parties and websites. About half the county parties in this state don't have an active website. And of the half that do, a lot of them still have information from 2013 still on it. I don't know how we're ever going to find the newest generation of voters and party members if people can't find out where we are and who we're fighting for. I was actually at the UW-Eau Claire College Democrats a few weeks ago, and I asked them, when you go back to your home community and you go online and you try to find that county party, and if they're not easily to find online, what are you going to do? And most of them said, well, then I'm just going to give up. And we as a party can't let that happen. So in my plan here, I want to do a couple things. First, I want to hire a digital director for the party that is actually going to go out and travel the state and work with county parties, work with grassroots groups, work with local candidates, and really make sure that they know what tools are at their disposal. There are things like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram and Pinterest, all of which are free, and we need to be helping support our candidates and our parties in using those resources to reach out to a new generation of voters. I want to make sure that we're instituting digital action teams. I want rapid response. When someone, you know, when a Republican candidate for president says something stupid and wrong, I want to make sure that we're able to respond effectively and get that message out there and share with activists, here's a way to respond, or here's what Democrats are doing for you, and really highlight that. I want to do a digital boot camp at our state party convention and make sure that we are actually training grassroots activists on some of these new tools and technologies. I know that we need to be consistently investing moving forward. You look at 2014, you know, Scott Walker outspent Mary Burke 3-1 mm-hmm. when it came to digital advertising, 3-1. And frankly, we as a Democratic Party, we did pretty well through 2012, but then we let it go. And we need to be investing today to make sure that we're consistently moving forward.
Another one of your goals is Operation Main Street. Is this, do you want to talk about that if we haven't already?
No. So for me, Operation Main Street is really about kind of that local level, as we talked about earlier, and really making sure that the party is investing in local races. I'm the only candidate in this race so far that has released multiple detailed plans around the work that we want to do on day one. Mm-hmm. And when I look at Operation Main Street, it's about making sure that we are supporting those local candidates on the ground. I want to make sure that we're pulling together the county party, labor, grassroots groups, college Democrats, and make sure that we're really investing in a local coordinated campaign in those spring elections to make sure that we're supporting those candidates. There are some great targeted areas of the state that we should be focused on. You look at central Wisconsin, you look at western Wisconsin, northwestern Wisconsin. We need to make sure that we're finding candidates for school board, town board seats, village board seats, and that's going to be one of my top priorities, is working with our partner organizations to make sure that we're finding candidates, but most importantly, not just finding them, supporting them once they get on the ballot.
One of your opponents, Joe Wernicke, said every time there is an election for an assembly or senate seat, there should be a Democratic candidate. Now, he says it was a mistake to not run Democratic candidates in 31 of these seats in the last election. What's your position on that? Should there be a Democrat even in districts that are overwhelmingly are?
You know, we as a party definitely need to be making sure that we're finding candidates as many seats as we can. But I think we have to also be realistic with our resources and knowing that, you know, there are some districts that are 75-80% Republican that we may not win right away. But what we really as a party need to do is make sure that we are expanding the map and bringing more people into the electorate and voting for Democrats and understanding our values. And I think it starts on that local level and making sure that we're electing candidates who can potentially run and finding those good individuals. I think it's about making sure it's a year-round campaign as well and that we as a party are going out door-to-door and talking about issues as well with voters, particularly in rural Wisconsin. Let's go talk about why Walker's budget is devastating public schools in their area. Let's make sure to start building those genuine relationships with voters now. And I think that will help make districts more competitive. And I really think it's our priority, and I actually had a whole other plan on this all around constituency building and making sure that we're expanding who we're reaching as a party. And I think that will make districts more competitive. The way that the Republicans drew the maps put Democrats at a severe disadvantage. But if we as a party really invest in making sure that we're bringing as many new people in and really talking about our vision and our values, I think we stand a real shot at making districts much more competitive for us.
I mentioned one of your opponents, Joe Wernicke. Do you want to talk about why you'd be a better chair than Joe Wernicke, Martha Lanning, Jeff Smith, Steve Smith?
You know, I think each candidate brings something very unique to the table. But I really believe that I'm the one who has the most experience and dedication to the party. I think we really need a chair who on day one has plans that can move us forward. You know, we can't get there and start planning for 2016. If we're not planning for 2016 now, we're behind. We need to be planning for 2018 and 2020. We need a leader who has that detailed vision about the things that they want to do to really move the party forward right away. That's the type of candidate that I am. I'm laying out my plans. I'm sharing with the party members and voters across the state what I want to do. I think tied in with my experience in rural Wisconsin, with my long service of dedication to the party, the understanding of how the party works, but most importantly, the trust of party members. I've been really fortunate to have been elected by the delegates at state convention 3 times to represent them on the DNC. And I think all of those things really help set me apart from the other candidates in this field.
Well, I want to give you a chance if you want to take it. When I interviewed Senator Vinehout, as you've seen, she was critical of you because of who you work for. But my understanding is you didn't work for Nation Consulting at that time. Do you want to straighten that out? And if you don't want to go there, that's fine.
No, just to clarify, no, I did not work there when the bills that she referenced were introduced and discussed. And, you know, I spend a lot of my time at Nation Consulting really focused on local elections and supporting great progressive candidates in local races. And then spent a huge chunk of my time on supporting nonprofits. You know, one that I spent a lot of time with was a group called Axe Housing. They actually turn city tax-foreclosed properties in the city of Milwaukee back into owner-occupied units and really help families for the first time, you know, start on their American dream. And that's something that I've worked on. It's helping promote an organization like that, helping them continue to grow. Look at the LGBT Chamber. That's where I spend a lot of my time, in traveling the state, meeting with business owners, talking about business issues, and showing that you can be both pro-fairness and pro-business at the same time, that businesses support increasing the minimum wage, that businesses support the Affordable Care Act, and really make sure that that message gets out there. That's one of the reasons I'm actually proposing the creation in the party of a small business caucus. I want us to pull back some of that messaging. I think we have let the Republicans and WMC and other groups take over the business messaging when it comes to politics. And we as a Democratic Party need to be making sure that we are reclaiming that, that we can say that we are the party of small businesses, that we are the party fighting for, you know, fair policies, that we are the party that's standing up for the working men and women of the state.
Is it a victory for the Democratic Party that Wisconsin and the nation has made so much progress on some of these same-sex issues, Jason?
I don't think it's a problem. I think it's a real good step forward. And I think, you know, we are moving forward, but there's a lot of work yet to be done when you look at LGBT issues. You know, we were one of the first states that actually had a non-discrimination ordinance statewide, but it only protected members of the gay and lesbian community. It doesn't protect members of the trans community, and that's another step that we as a state need to fight for. There's still a lot of ways to go. You know, I like to say it's not just, you know, marriage equality isn't the only thing we're fighting for. We're fighting for lived equality and the lived experience of every individual to be treated fairly with dignity and respect.
There's more millennials than boomers now. What's your appeal to them? Because you've seen the polls. If you are a millennial, you're not as interested in politics. So what's your pitch to the millennials?
You know, for me, I really actually, in my plans, I'm really talking about how to bring more young people into the party. You know, I got involved early, but I want to see and make sure that the party's continuing to invest in young people. It's why I'm calling for the creation of a Young Democrats of Wisconsin chapter. We've got a great College Democrats organization right now that really focuses on those students on four-year campuses. But we have a lot of young people in the state who aren't attending a four-year school. They're going to tech school, or they're entering the workforce right away. Maybe they're entering the armed forces and coming home then. Mm-hmm. We need to be making sure that we're reaching out and engaging with them. And I think my Young Democrats plan really lays it out. You know, Steve, we're actually the only state in the entire country without a Young Democrats chapter.
Oh, really?
So we really need to be investing in this if we want to bring more young people in. You know, we do well in presidential years.
Yes.
You know, Barack Obama got 66% of, you know, some of the youth vote. Mary Burke was down about 51%, if I remember correctly.
Right.
If we aren't continuing to make sure that young people feel welcome and included in our party, I think we're going to lose elections. And that's why I want to create an organization that will help do youth messaging, that will invest in the ways young people are getting their media. More young people are leaving Facebook every day. So it's trying to figure out how can we engage them on Pinterest or Instagram and getting our message out there. I think it's also making sure that we're utilizing our young elected officials in this state and having them go out as spokespeople for the party. I think when people hear a message from somebody that looks like them and sounds like them, they're more likely to listen and pay attention to it. And I think if we have great leaders like Mandela Barnes, for example, who can be out there talking about what Democrats are doing, I think people will respond to that. And I think that will really help us move forward and really bring more millennials into the party. I think the other piece of it that we just have to be honest about, well, I love the party and I go to meetings, and I think there's a lot of young people who don't necessarily have the time as they're starting a family to attend necessarily a county party meeting and to sit through a resolutions debate. So I want to provide opportunities for them to be engaged. Maybe it's a networking event that we do before a meeting where those that want to stay can, but really trying to find ways to bring people together and particularly involve them in the work that we're doing.
The next state party chair will be a spokesman for the party as President Walker runs for president. So you've heard the question that I ask candidates for state chair. If you're on Face the Nation or Meet the Press and somebody says to you, why shouldn't Governor Walker be elected president? What's your answer?
You know, I think my answer on that, and you know, I've been fortunate during my career to have done several national interviews and things. I think it's very clear. We'd go out and we'd start by talking about Walker's real record here in the state. Talk about what he's done to public schools, what he's done to the working class. And I think it's also talking really about some of the lies that he's told and how he's divided our state. And I think people really want to know that. I think when I've talked to people all across the country and they really understand his record, they're turned off. And that's not something that they want to support. So I think it will be our job as a state party to be out there really hitting on him. And I think it's important, though, that when the voters at Iowa and New Hampshire reject him in 2016, then that we're here ready to have voters in Wisconsin reject him in 2018 as well.
If you're chair, what are your benchmark goals for the 2016, 2018, and 2020 elections, Jason?
I think it's great. I think it's, one, making sure that we're increasing the electorate and really growing who we're reaching. We need to be making sure that we're involving more Latinos, more African Americans, more Asian American, Pacific Islanders in our party, and really growing some of those constituency groups, because I think they're the future voters. And that's why, as I talk about in my constituency plan, I want to make sure that we are having those communities go out and do messaging within their own communities. But also, I think another huge component of that is making sure that we're promoting getting voter IDs. You know, voter ID is going to be is the law of the land in our elections going forward. And we need to make sure that we are organizing now on that so that people are ready and prepared. And then I think the other part is really making sure that we're electing Democrats. I'm an optimist, Steve, and I really believe that we've got a bright future ahead of us as a party. And I know that if we work together, we can really make a strong difference. If we build a solid infrastructure, if we build that bench of candidates, if we regain that digital advantage, and if we put forward that positive, progressive agenda, I think we're going to win elections in Wisconsin.
Is it foreseeable that if Democrats again control the Assembly, Senate, and the East Wing, the governorship, your party can overturn Act 10 and Right to Work and photo ID?
I think so, and I hope we do. I really think we as a party...
What's been the damage done by those three? Excuse me for interrupting.
No, those three have tremendously hurt not only the party, but working class people in this state. And, you know, voter ID we haven't seen implemented yet, but when we do, I know it's really going to hurt the party, but it's really going to hurt working people who already struggle sometimes to get out to vote or don't know what it takes to register anything, we're going to kick people out of the process and we're going to let, you know, millionaires from outstate, you know, buy our elections. You look at, you know, the unions as well, and Act 10 has really hurt, you know, public sector unions in this state and really kind of devastated that. And we need to make sure that we restore collective bargaining rights so that people can have a fair wage, that they can fight for workplace safety rights, and really be engaged that way. And I know that when we retake the governor's office, when we win back the state legislature, we're going to return Wisconsin to a progressive state again.
One of the discussions is, traditionally, Democratic leaders of the Senate and the Assembly have gone out and find their next generation of candidates. Mm-hmm. Is there a role for you, if you're state chair, in that process of finding the next generation of candidates?
Absolutely. I think the state chair needs to be working collaboratively with the leadership of the Assembly, leadership of the Senate, with labor, with grassroots groups, and actually really working together to make sure that we're finding those candidates, and that we're investing in them, and we're providing them the tools and resources we can to help them grow. We need to be in this together. This isn't, you know, somebody over here doing it or somebody over here. You know, I really view my job as state chair as really working to bring people together to make sure that we're all talking and listening and engaging. I think it will help make us more efficient, but I think it will also help make us better.
Did that cooperation not exist in the 2010, 2012, 2014 elections?
You know, I don't know. I wasn't, you know, in Madison here in the state party office. I don't know what existed or not then. But I think that's my commitment, though, going forward, is really making sure to build solid, genuine relationships with the leadership of the Assembly and the Senate, and really make sure that we move our party forward together.
Is it the job of the state chair to stay neutral in a primary fight in a state Senate or a state Assembly primary?
Absolutely, I think so. I think the state chair needs to stay neutral and not endorse and not engage. And in fact, I think it's great when we have primaries like that. And I actually hope that we have more primaries in Wisconsin. I think a competitive primary actually helps strengthen the Democrats' shot at winning seats. I think it helps us talk about our issues. It motivates voters. And hopefully we'll slingshot that nominee into the general election and onto victory.
Drawing on your experience at the DNC, are you comfortable with Hillary Clinton being the leader in terms of getting the presidential nomination right now?
You know, I think Hillary's a fantastic individual who will lead our party forward in great ways. But, you know, as a candidate for state party chair, and if I'm elected state party chair, I plan to stay to neutral in that race and not endorse and let the voters in Wisconsin decide in our April primary in 2016 who they want to see as our next president.
But if primaries are good, should Hillary Clinton be challenged by Martin O'Malley, by Bernie Sanders?
I think a primary is a great thing, and I welcome a vigorous debate in this presidential primary. And I think it will be a good thing for the voters. I think it will be a good thing for our candidates. It really tries them on message and really gets them out there engaged and active. And I think, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing a real competitive, vigorous 2016 Democratic presidential primary.
Okay. So talk about the campaign that you're running to be elected state chair. I mean, that's pretty interesting. You now have a campaign to be elected chair, so how's it working?
It's going really well. I mean, for us, you know, it's really about a defined universe of voters at our state party convention. I'm out there on the road, as I mentioned earlier, averaging about 1,000 miles a week, getting to different county party meetings, congressional district conventions, and really spending time talking to party members one-on-one about what their concerns are for the party, and then laying out my vision. And I think it's a real comprehensive vision that really talks about the things that we need to do on day one to move the Wisconsin Democratic Party forward. It's been a lot of fun getting out there. You know, having served the party for more than a decade, I've made some great friends around the state in every part of Wisconsin, and it's great to connect with old friends, but it's also been really enjoyable to connect with new friends and to make new relationships and to really see the great diversity and opportunity that we have as a party. The only downfall, I think my partner is upset that I'm not at home as much as he would, I think, like, knowing that we're planning a wedding at the moment. But for me, I really care about the party and I care about our state, and I'm going to keep out there, and I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to talking to all of the delegates, and I know winning their support on June 6th and being elected the next state chair of the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, my final question, since we're out of time, give us a preview of your speech to the convention, trying to convince your delegates to elect you as chair.
I think, you know, my vision of that speech is really going to be talking about, I'm the candidate who has a real vision and direction for the party, that I'm ready to start on day one to make sure that we move Wisconsin forward, that we have plans that can plan for 2016, 2018, 2020, and beyond. And then I'm going to work with everybody. I want to listen. I've been out there traveling the state, giving my phone number and cell phone out to people, and I tell them, call me. I want to hear your ideas. I want to hear your thoughts. And I know that that's the type of chair I'm going to be, and I know that that message will resonate with the delegates, and I'm really looking forward to having their support on June 6th.
Jason Ray of Milwaukee, thanks so much for talking to Wisconsin High. And just this programming note, all interviews with the five candidates, Jason Ray, Martha Lanning, Joe Winicky, Jeff Smith, and Steve Smith, are now archived at wisi.org. Jason, thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.